worked with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Let me tell you, this week I had an experience with God. I began to consider how my life has changed since I've been a Christian. And I went back to the day that I got saved. And in those first few months, I began to consider the goodness of God in my life and how God took me, who was dead in trespasses and sin, who was a fornicator, and I was dying a slow death. And Jesus delivered me and set me free. I couldn't do nothing but cry and repent. And God stirred up something in me. When you consider the goodness of God, it will stir up your zeal for Him. So many believers live their life with no zeal at all, no enthusiasm, no strong feelings of emotion about God at all. Just going through the motions, and it's not the will of God. We should wake up excited about God every day, excited about being in God's plan and being in His will, and we need to think about the goodness of God. When I think about how the Lord has saved me, I think, Wilma, you sing that song. When I think about the Lord and how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, when I think about all the things I've been through, and all the times when I thought I wasn't going to make it, when I've been through dark places in my life, when you've come up out of a pit of darkness and despair, oh, when you think about that, I'm going to tell you, it stirs up the zeal of God in you. You need to consider the goodness of God. If you'll consider the goodness of God, the goodness of God will surround you, and I'll tell you, it will begin to repel sin in your life. It'll put the devil on the run. Think about the goodness of God. 1 Samuel 12, 22 to 24 says, for the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it have pleased the Lord to make you His people. It pleased the Lord to make you His, and He will not forsake you. That is a part of the goodness of God. God gave us His word that He would not forsake us or abandon us. Hallelujah. Oh, when I think about His goodness. When I look back, sometimes you wonder how you made it. How did you come through that? How did God keep me? When you look back on it, you know, probably when you was going through, you thought you was doing it. But when you look back, you'll see the grace of God. God open your eyes to His grace, and you'll say, if it had not been for the Lord, if it had not been God being good to me and God not abandoning me even when I had abandoned Him, I'm going to tell you, He's a good God. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Listen to this. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He have done for you. The word to serve God in truth with all your heart, that literally means to serve God faithfully. To be faithful to the call of God upon your life, to be faithful to His service, to be faithful to Him. And listen to this, verse 25. But if you shall still do wickedly, now listen to this, if you consider the goodness of God and you still do wicked, if God show you His goodness and you still continue to do wrong, it's not going to be good for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both you and your king. Now, I'm highlighting this scripture here because the word consumed, it means to sweep or to snatch away. It means to be caught up or captured. It means to be destroyed. So sometimes when people see the goodness of God and they still do wicked things, Satan is able to snatch them away, to sweep them away. And I don't want to be swept away. I don't want to be caught up in me. I want to be caught up in Jesus. Amen. I don't want to be taken captive. So what happens is that when people don't repent and they don't serve God, they're not zealous for God, and they don't consider the goodness of God, Satan is able to take those people captive. He's able to sweep them away. And that's not the will of God for your life. God wants you to love him with all your heart. Look at verse 24 again. Only fear the Lord. Only have reverence and respect for the Lord. Serve him faithfully with all your heart, for consider how great things he's done for you. So there's two things we need to consider. We need to consider that there's only one God, and then we need to consider that that God has been good to us. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, God's been good to me. Some of y'all are experiencing the goodness of God right now. How many of y'all experiencing the goodness of God? Oh, I tell you, it's good to consider that. All right, the third thing we need to consider is that we need to consider Jesus, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind and backslide. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2 says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. You see, Satan is an expert at putting distractions in your life. When you get distracted away from Jesus, you will lose your zeal. It says, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Just think on him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it in all comparison with your trials, so that you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. So the Bible tells us that we need to consider Jesus, that we need to keep our eyes on what he has done for us. Amen. We need to look at the suffering and the pain and the cost that he paid to redeem our lives. And when we look at him, when we look at the cross, and we see that Jesus became sin for us, when we see that Jesus was made poor for us, when we see that Jesus was ransomed for us, when we see that Jesus gave himself for us, when we see that Jesus was chastised for our peace, when we see that Jesus bore our sorrow so we could have his joy, when he was in the garden of Gethsemane, when he said, would y'all pray and watch lest you enter into temptation? And then he told his disciples, he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Another translation says, I'm almost dying of grief. I'm going to tell you, our grief, our sorrow that Jesus bore, because sorrow is a part of the curse. When God pronounced the curse in the book of Genesis, he told Adam, he said, you're going to till the ground in sorrow. He told a woman, you're going to give birth to children in sorrow. He's talking about toil. He's talking about human effort. You see, Jesus took the toil and the pain and the grief that's caused by sin, and he took that and he bore it. And when that grief came on him, he began to sweat as if it was great drops of blood. The grief that came on him, the sorrow that came on him, he said, I'm almost dying of sorrow. He was experiencing our death. He was experiencing our sorrow. And then they beat him unmercifully. They beat him to a bloody pulp. The Bible says that he was marred beyond any man. Jesus didn't even resemble a man anymore. They had beat him so bad. And he paid the price, and he did that for us. And when you consider his suffering and the price that he paid, that he didn't just take my sin, he took the sin of the whole world came on him. How could one man take all of that? I'm going to tell you, he did it. And that's the reason why his flesh didn't want to do it. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Father, is there another way I can do this? Because he knew it was going to cost him. When you consider that Jesus did so much for you, and all that you have because of what he did, and all that's available to you because of what he did, I'm going to tell you, if you'll consider that, then you won't get tired of doing what's right. You won't get tired of living for God. You won't get tired of doing good works. Amen. You won't get tired of loving other people. When you consider all that Jesus did for you, the Bible says, consider him lest you be wearied and faint in your own mind, because trials and temptations are common to the human existence. There's no way for you to get away from trials and temptations. Somebody came in my office here recently and said, Pastor, would you pray for me that I wouldn't have all these trials and tribulations? I said, what you want me to pray for, you to die? I said, that's the only way that it's going to happen. I said, come on, let's pray for you to die right now. Well, no, I don't want to die. I said, well, if we know that trials and tribulation are common and that they're coming, then don't be stupid. Prepare yourself for them. If we know it's coming, then we need to be getting ready for it. Amen. The Holy Spirit will prepare us for those things. And he will equip us to go through anything the devil hand out. I'm going to tell you, the devil don't have a weapon that can beat God. And if you're hooked up with God and you got that zeal on the inside, you're going to always come out on top. I'm going to tell you, God fixed the game. Amen. The game of life has been fixed by Jesus. When he went to the cross, he said everything that was wrong, he set it right. Everything that was out of order, he put it in order. Everything that was bad about us went to Jesus, and everything that was good about him was made available to us. We need to consider Jesus. So when you're going through a trial and it's hard, sometimes when people are going through a trial, they lose hope. The devil will lie to them and tell them that there's no way out. Your life is over. God has abandoned you. God has left you. God doesn't love you. You know, God is not going to help you out of this situation. And they lose hope. And the devil pushes people further than they need to go, because they yield to him and they believe his lie.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.